Delighted to have Brother Danny Hood in the house with us. He has ministered to us wonderfully. I want him to come this morning, and he's brought his six string, his flat top, and we're just going to turn him loose, and whatever he wants to do, whatever the Holy Ghost provokes, we want him to do it in the house this morning. And everybody said, "Preach to me." Praise God. Now, where are you going to set up first, brother? You're going to just do what you want to do. We're real easy. We're comfortable. We're very informal. And we'll watch you while you rig your guitar there. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. This is a song the Lord gave me just a few days ago, and I felt like it'd be appropriate for somebody here. You give your love to me, I don't know why. You give your peace to me, though I fail you time after time. You should have left me so long ago, but I'm glad you stay just to let me know that you're with me no matter what comes. That's what grace is. It's where it comes from. Another chance to do what's right. Walk in the power of the light. I'm glad you love me one more time. You with me no matter what comes, that's what grace is. It's where it comes from. A little strength to do some more. Show me what life's worth living for. I'm glad you love me one more time. Still talk to me all through the night, and I feel your hand in every aspect of my life. You could have pulled away and left me all alone, but I'm glad you stay just to let me know that you're with me no matter what comes. That's what grace is. It's where it comes from. Another chance to do what's right. Walk in the power of the light. I'm glad you love me one more time. You with me. No matter what comes, that's what grace is. It's where it comes from. Give me strength to do a little more. Show me what life's worth living for. I'm glad you love me one more time. You still walk with me every step that I take, and your mercy is still there for every mistake that I make. You could have given up oh, so long ago. Hey, but I'm glad you stayed just to let me know that you're with me. No matter what comes, 'cause that's what grace is. It's where it comes from. Another chance to do what's right, to walk in the power of the light. I'm glad you love me one more time. You with me. No matter what comes, 'cause that's what grace is. It's where it comes from. A little strength to do some more. Show me what life's worth living for. I'm glad you love me one more time.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Hold me in your arms. Keep me safe from harm. I don't wanna fall. Help me make it through the night. 'Cause I can't even walk. No, I can't survive. Lord, I wouldn't even try without you in my life. Somebody tell the Lord, hold me in your arms. Keep me safe from harm. I don't wanna fall. Help me make it through the night.
Cause I can't even walk. Lord, I know I can't survive. I wouldn't even try without you in my life.
Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I feel a tenderness of the Holy Ghost in this room. And why don't you just reach over and take somebody by the hand. Ask the Lord to speak to them today in the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Technical difficulties won't stop the Spirit. Praise God. I don't know what I'd do without you in my life. I'd fade away. I'd fade away. Like the stars before sunrise. Like the moon after the night. I'd fade away. I'd fade away. I don't know what I'd do without you in my life. I'd just drift away. I drift away like the wood upon the sea, like a leaf upon the breeze. Lord, I drift away. I drift away. Do you feel that way? I don't know what I'd do without you in my life. I'd go astray. I'd go astray. Like a sheep without a shepherd. Like a ship without a compass, I'd go astray. I'd go astray. So hold me in your hand and help me stand with you. Cause I don't know, Lord, what I'd do without you in my life. I'd fade away. I'd fade away. Like the stars before the sunrise. Like the moon after the night, I'd fade away, Lord, without you. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and talk to him for a moment. In the name of Jesus. You swam the ocean, searching for true love. You hung the moon, searched the stars up above. Worked your fingers to the bone, but in the end, you're still alone, trying to find happiness in this old world. You went the extra mile just to do what they wanted. Gave all you had just to be disappointed. Invested all your worth, but in the end, no return. Your heart's still empty, your soul still yearns. But I want to tell you about a cross, about a love just because, about a savior and a friend you've never known. I want you to meet him. He'll put a fire in your soul, and he'll even heal broken romance. You've tried everything. Give Jesus a chance. Yes, you've tried everything. Give Jesus a chance. Let's worship. Looking for my Bible. Oh, it's over here. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen, amen. Sometimes when I'm singing, I forget you're out there. I get lost in the presence of God and the tenderness of his hand. And I feel like he's reaching out here today. And there's a common theme, I believe, what the Holy Ghost wants to do here in just the next few moments. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands to the Lord again in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, talk to him. Lift up your hearts. There's a lot of things that the Lord would like to do and cannot do when there's a closed door or a closed mind or a narrow perspective. Somebody who becomes defensive, holds up the shields. The bottom line is that there is a presence of God here. There's a love of God in this room right now that supersedes any earthly affection that you may know about, that you may have ever experienced. And that's the presence of God. That's the love of God in this house right now. Sometimes I want to go back to that old rugged cross. I want to hear, not because it is sadistic religion or masochistic in my own mind concerning his suffering,
but because it is the very centerpiece of salvation. It's the focal point of all faith. Calvary is the swinging hinges of hope for those that are lost. If you have been abused, if you are embittered, if you were raised in a family where you weren't shown affection, where you were never told you were loved, and it has programmed you to be a hardened person. In this house, there is a power and a blood and a cleansing flow that can break through all of that debris, all of that detritus, all of that clutter that has accumulated and compiled itself in front of the door of your soul. He can come in and clear it out. In the name of Jesus, you may say, well, I've done things and I've said things and I've thought things and I've been to places and I have temptations and cravings in my flesh that I don't know what to do about. But that's why we come to the cross. While the cross was something ugly for Jesus, it was beautiful for us. It was torture for him, but it was treasure for us. It was a death and a sacrifice for him, but it was deliverance and hope and peace and the settlement of the soul that wandered in sin. You can come out of your wilderness today if you can believe this in the next few moments. I feel led to go to the book of Romans chapter 8, the book of Romans chapter 8. The scripture said in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Somebody walked in here today indicted by hell, serving a sentence of shame and private guilt. Doesn't mean you don't have a good time. It doesn't mean that you're not getting things done in life. Doesn't mean that you're not working a job efficiently and consistently. But it means there are some hidden areas of your life that feel condemned, like an old building that the paints begin to peel and it's dilapidated and it's starting to lean a little bit, and the government comes in or the city council comes in and they say it's condemned, and now they want to get the wrecking ball out, bring in the demolition crew. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today that regardless of what the devil has desired to do with a demolition crew in your life, God is a restorer. God does reconstructive surgery in the soul of a man. And when you walk out of here, you think it's like plastic surgery has been done. Who is that man? I don't even recognize him. Because when I came in here, all I had was judgment. All I had was guilt. But when I left with love and peace. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, I better keep reading. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now you can take a moment, wipe your back of your hand across your forehead and go, boy, that's deep. Now we catch a breath and keep reading. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The Bible says in my carnal, sinful condition, I'm in enmity. That's hostility. I am an enemy of God when I'm carnal and sinful. But now, being God's enemy, he carries a cross for me. He doesn't bring stones. He doesn't pummel me with punishment. He doesn't desire that I suffer in this condemning condition another day. Yet Romans says I'm his enemy because I'm in enmity. I'm in hostility. I'm in opposition. I want to minister for just a few moments today With enemies like this, who needs friends? Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those that will be touched today. In the name of Jesus, clap your hands to the Lord, and you may be seated. You would think that if I was truly his enemy, he would, come on, load up the cannons, get the stealth bombers out. Come in with the tanks, the foot soldiers, and the horsemen. Let's wipe them out. Let's get rid of them. Like America attacking Al-Qaeda, looking for terrorists. If that's the kind of enemy that I was in my sinful state, coming against the righteousness of God, he should have just decimated me, destroyed me, absolutely erased me off the planet of the earth. And yet, he rather allowed himself to be shoved down the narrow trails, over the stumps, the crackling branches, down to the judgment hall of Pilate, where he would stand like this. The Bible said, like a lamb led to the slaughter. He could have snapped his finger and 10,000 fiery winged angels would have spiraled downward and would have wiped out the Roman Empire in a heartbeat. And yet he stands there silent. False accusers are lined up. They're marching in one after another. And when they speak, you can tell they're lying. But the Sanhedrin doesn't care. They want false accusers because they are threatened by this man. This man who will preach to the poor. This man who will sit down and eat a hamburger with a sinner. Try to modernize it a little bit for you. A man that will call a Zacchaeus out of a tree and say, I'm going to come and have dinner with you today. Maybe he has compassion on Zacchaeus because he'd be hanging in a tree for too long and he understood what the feeling would be like. This man who did nothing but good, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave hope to the hopeless, didn't demand that they come into some beautiful sanctuary or synagogue to be touched. He walked out there in their streets. He stood on a hillside and fed 5,000 of them with just a few loaves and fish. Because they were so hungry for him, they let the growlings in their earthly bellies go neglected. And yet, Jesus even had compassion on that. I can't keep teaching them without feeding them. And yet, here he is in the judgment hall of Pilate. The shadow of evil looms larger, and the light of truth and revelation seems to be dimming and snuffed out. For now, the devil's having his way, and the smirks, the smug looks on the faces of the Sanhedrin as they huddle together and they whisper back and forth. They are mocking this man. They will take him from the accusations of the judgment hall of Pilate. They will take him down to a lone column in the court of pavements. They will tie up his wrists and they will let him hang until you can hear the creaking of that column. They will pick up a scourge, a cat of nine tails, which is laced with chips of bone and metal. That man will mercilessly beat him, laying 39 stripes across his back. They are furrows of healing dug into his back from which miracles would grow. Because the Bible declared before it ever happened in the book of Isaiah, by his stripes ye were healed. It spoke of it in past tense before it ever took place in the present, and before it was ever understood what power it would display in the future. Ye were healed by his stripes. As he lays those leathery lips kissing the back of the Messiah, twisting it and pulling it until there are now chunks of flesh spraying on the ground, he still doesn't utter a word to the angels for deliverance. He groans, he grimaces, his teeth are peeled back in a feral manner like a beast, but it's not a beast. It's the compassionate work. It's the desire of a Savior to save who? You'd think he would be doing this just for his disciples. He would be doing this just for somebody like Mary, the mother of Jesus, whose meekness was known throughout the land, whose purity of heart had been given note to the Almighty God. Do it for somebody like Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God. Or do it for somebody like Abraham, who walked by faith. Or do it for somebody like David, who was a man after God's. But he did it for me. He did it for the sinner. He did it for the scum of the earth. He did it for the lowest. He did it for the poorest. He did it for the broken. He did it for those who could not help themselves. He did it for those who couldn't pick themselves up out of the pit. And he was even doing it for his persecutors, because now they will shove him down the narrow passage of Jerusalem streets, out the Damascus gate, the Via Dolorosa, up the winding path to Golgotha, the stony brow, the place of the skull, where they will now take him and they will crucify him. They will lay him out upon the limbs of atrocity. They will reach up for the mallet. They will raise it high. You will hear it as it pounds the spikes. And as it does, it is if a thunder goes through hell. It is an echoing warning of what is to come. Even though it looks as though the enemy's winning. And yet, he looks at the Roman soldiers in their flowing red robes, their anatomically perfect breastplates, their fur military discipline stares, standing there, persecuting him. He looks at the snarled faces, the raised brows of sadistic pleasure that Sanhedrin members are taking as he suffers for 6 hours on a cross. They raise up that cross, and when it drops into the hole, it thuds. The cross creaks just a bit, and the winds of hell pick up its pace. Very last thing that Jesus will say, a muffled lyric over a swollen tongue, "It is finished." He has uttered things like, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." A thief. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But finally, "It is finished." That last exhalation of breath, which is a whisper of hope to all ages. His body sags and his head drops, and the cross creaks again, leaning forward just a bit, holding the dead weight of the Messiah. Now comes the Roman soldier. He will thrust the spear from the right side into the left, piercing the sac beneath the heart. The blood and the water will flow out. Why did he do this? Is it just a historical anomaly? Was he just a good man that lived long ago? And we are literary carriers of what he did? No. He was truly the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He was the hope, the only. He's not an alternative route. You cannot put Jesus in the list of Buddha and Confucius and all kinds of New Age or Eastern mysticism. He is not one of many gods that can help you. He is the only God that was manifested in that moment who can save you. The only hope. That's why Jesus did not say, "I am a part of the way." He told his disciples and every listener in that world, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You don't find an alternative route to redemption. It's not a multiple choice list. One door, one deliverer. One cross, one hope. One bridge that will bring you out of darkness into marvelous light. Let's worship the Lord for a moment in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And he did that. He did that because he is saying, "I know you're my enemy, but I'm going to love you, enemy. I'm going to show you hope, enemy. I'm going to reach for peace when I could give judgment. I'm going to show you a cross that will stand as a stake of salvation planted. And when he planted that stake of salvation, it punctured hell, and bleeding out ever since has been the lowest of the captives, the prisoners of darkness and deception. Those who have been alcoholics and drug addicts, those who have been divorced and remarried over and over again, those who have been tossed about from one foster home to another, those who have been in gangs, those who have been involved in violence, those who have been the abuser rather than the abused, who have been the victimizers rather than the victims. He died for the murderer. He died for the lowest enemy. He died for you and for me. It was personal with him. He didn't look at just a bunch of collective faces. He, being the eternal mind of God, even in flesh, he had enough computing power in his mind to see every face of every man, woman, boy, and girl that had lived, was living, and would ever live on this planet. I've had a lot of friends promise me things and not come through. I've had family members let me down, and you have too. But there's one thing for certain. When I look at God, who called me first his enemy by nature of my disobedience and defiance of his word, he still died for me. With enemies like that, you can have your cheap worldly fairy. You can have the folks that'll sit on a bar stool with you and bemoan all of the sinful stuff you're doing. But I'll take Jesus. I'll take the living word. I'll take the hope of all humanity. Because every groan on that cross was an utterance of grace to me. Every moan was a representation of mercy to me. That is why I'm glad at the young age of 12, I felt the magnetism of the cross, because Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." I felt that magnetism one day. It pulled me down to the front. I fell on my knees and I said, "Father, forgive me." And when the forgiveness came, something else came. Fire followed the forgiveness, a gift of love and peace and acceptance. Now, you got to get this for a moment. There are social clubs in America that won't accept you. There are cliques in society that won't accept you. There are particular gangs and groups of prejudice because of racial tension that won't accept you. But when you're talking about the kingdom of God, the only gate of entrance is through the old rugged cross. And everybody has equal footing at the cross. No matter what color, no matter what environment, no matter what class in society, when you come to the cross, you are on equal ground of grace. And when he opens up the door, it doesn't matter who has rejected you. He will receive you. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I tell you, turn to your friend and say, with enemies like that, who needs friends? When a God would be concerned about me, when I'm stained, when I'm filthy, when I smell of the homeless condition of hell, when I have been a vagabond going from one earthly appetite to another, and he could have just zapped me with a laser beam out of his fingertip and said, "I'm done with him." He loved me. He loved me. And he said, "Come on, get those dirty clothes off. Get that sin out of your life. I'm going to give you a white robe." I said, "I can't afford it." "You don't have to buy it. The blood's already purchased it." Wow. That is amazing grace. Let's lift our hands to the Lord in Jesus' name. Come to get to him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Be seated just for about 2 more minutes. Here's what I think of. He's on that cross. in that position, breathing, struggling. He doesn't turn his back to you. He doesn't fold his arms. He doesn't even clench his fists to fight you. The one message to every hurting man, to every sinner that doesn't know how to break the addiction. And I sense in the Holy Ghost here, there are people that are struggling with certain feelings, even of sexual orientation. Let me just get to where you are, because that cross paid for that too. It did. So that while you are saying in your hopeless condition, I don't know how to overcome these feelings, Calvary overcomes them. And this is what he says to every murderer, to every liar, to every cheat, to every thief, even to every homosexual and lesbian, to every abused and abuser, he says, at the cross, I accept you. Do you know why? Because at the cross, I can change you. You won't be a murderer, a thief, a liar, intemperate, unbalanced, unstable, perverse, promiscuous. You won't be wayward, a wanderer, a vagabond. You won't be scum, rejected, and shameful. No. You'll shine like gold when the Father holds you in his hand and reveals you as a testimony to the world and says, they called that no good. But when they called it no good, they just didn't see what I saw. I saw beneath what appeared to be old, hardened, stony rock, I saw gold. It just needed a little changing. And it needed somebody with the loving arms of Calvary and a hand of hope to find its potential. In Jesus' name. You know, Jesus was the son of a carpenter in the physical sense, the son of God, obviously. But his father, Joseph, his earthly father, was a carpenter. He grew up fixing things, learning to fix things. Isn't it amazing? At the very end, he took two pieces of wood and a few nails and fixed every problem in the world. And he can do that in this service right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment. If you're here today,
Now, if you would, church members that are worshiping, if you wouldn't mind being seated just for a moment so I don't miss anybody. And just let's stay prayerful. If you're in this room right now and you know you need forgiveness, you need God's help, you're a visitor, you've been coming, whatever. We're not here to play religious games. We're here to meet Jesus at an old rugged cross that doesn't have denominational signs on it. There weren't any placards hanging from Calvary saying it's got to be this name or that one. It's for whosoever will. If you're sitting here right now and you say, I know I need God's forgiveness in my life, would you slip up your hand where you are? Just acknowledging, yeah, I know I need God to help me right now. I need Him to forgive me today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can't make it without Him today. I need His Spirit in my life. I need His touch in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand right now, and I'm going to ask the church to be mindful of those that are around you. I'm going to ask you, if you will, everybody that will stand, and especially those that had your hands raised, if you would be the first to step out and just come down to the front, and let's begin to talk to the Lord a little bit. This is what I want you to see. If you have to use your imagination, and you all got good ones, see the cross, the big beams up here, right here. Don't see this pulpit. See the cross. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. No matter what your former religious orientation has been, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to come to the cross. Let's come to the cross. Would you invite a friend? Would you bring a neighbor? Would you bring a family member? Would you say, hey, let's go stand around the cross. Let's go find forgiveness. Let's go feel the touch of His hand. Let's go believe that He can deliver us today. Come on, visitor. It's all right. Come on. Come on. You say, well, I'm not Pentecostal. At the cross, nobody's Pentecostal. Nobody's Baptist. Nobody's Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian. Nobody is anything but a soul in need of salvation. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. Feel the drawing of it. Say, I want to go and get that forgiveness right now. I want to go and find that peace right now. I want to go and meet my Savior at the cross right now. I want to go and be delivered from the mistakes I've made in my past. Yes, Lord. Yes. Altar workers, if you're beginning to pray for somebody in desperate need of God right now, continue to pray. Continue to reach out. Sinner friend, talk to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to save you today. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit today. Oh, yes. Sing it. Come and give your heart to God. Give your body and your life, your mind and your spirit to one who didn't treat you like an enemy, though you were. Oh, yes, Holy Ghost.
Grace, how sweet the sound. Somebody say, praise God, yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Many of you that are praying right now, if God has forgiven you and you know it, be filled with His Spirit today. If you've never experienced the Holy Ghost, get it where you're standing right now. You've got altar workers praying with you. Jesus said, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. That's a spiritual experience, an encounter with God. The book of Acts shows us that when they received the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues. That language will be an expression of God taking residency in your life. Receive His Spirit where you stand right now. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues right now where you stand. Let the fire of His presence follow the forgiveness that you have received at the cross today. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.